This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. We'll make fun of Democrats being lost here in a moment. That's a really good time. We'll talk about the idiocy of sending $5,000 checks to everybody. That'll be less of a good time. I'm sure that'll get the hate mail pouring in. We'll do some emails, some other things coming up on the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's talk about the other side and how they're doing out here. Not well is the answer to it. Lost is what they are. I saw yet another poll this morning that says about 35% of Democrats want them to be more liberal, more communist than they are. And roughly the same number, about 35%, want them to moderate. So what does that tell you? A lot of people know there's a problem, a major, major, major problem. They want it fixed. The problem is an equal number of people inside the Democrat Party are religious. They do not want to convert. They can't give up this oppressor, oppressed way they view the world. And in fact, they want to double and triple down on it. This creates a nightmare scenario for Democrats. It really does create a nightmare scenario for them. And let me explain why I talk about this the way I talk about it. As I've said many times, I want the Democrat Party to reform and get better. That sounds crazy. And I know it sounds crazy out of my mouth because of what a hardcore anti-communist I am. But like I've said, we can't keep this country I love, the country you love, together. We can't keep it together for another 100, 200 years if Democrats are trying to burn it down. Because they will take power again. They will get elected president again. They will have the House again. The Senate. These things will happen. And if there's still a party that's run by people who want to burn it down, we can't build as fast as they can destroy. I've used the example, and it's the best one, of immigration numbers. Joe Biden brings in 20 million illegals in 4 years. I'm getting emails every day from you. Jesse, Trump isn't deporting them fast enough. He's saying, this is not enough. These numbers don't add up. I told you it wasn't going to be 20 million deportations. You can't find and deport 20 million people. You can't build as fast as you can destroy. We cannot continue for another century, two centuries, if Democrats are still the party of burn America down. That is why I am fascinated and interested by what's going on over there. But you want to talk about lost? This is where they're at now. The most sustained campaign I've seen so far from Democrats is sob stories about fired federal workers. I mean, there are more than I can count. It's the most sustained propaganda effort I have seen since Donald Trump was sworn in. Here it is, headline: National Park Rangers fired from dream job on Valentine's Day pens an emotional viral letter. Things are not okay, he says. Oh, that was just one. Another one: Doge dismantles the job security of federal work. This is, of course, from Axios. One of the gem quotes in here from one of these federal workers is, quote, "The mentality that federal workers have that their jobs are protected no longer exists anymore." Even if you're not celebrating a federal worker being fired, I get that. But you federal workers who are being fired, do you understand what that sounds like to all of us who live like that every day? You might get laid off any day. Today, maybe. I could get fired tonight. Don't get me wrong, the premier is very happy, but you never know. Maybe there's a big iHeart restructuring, or maybe there's some kind of lawsuit. I mean, who knows? Maybe I offended one too many people. This could be my last show ever. Might be the last time you ever hear my voice. That's how we all exist. I don't know about you, but because I have been out of work before in the past, and I know what that feels like, and I know what it's like to watch the bills pile up, my wife and I, we do not spend what we make. Why? It's not so we can go to Barbados. Never been to Barbados. We don't spend what we make because we always plan on being out of work at some point in time. It could happen during the next commercial break. I might get a phone call. Hey, Chris, shut down the feed. Jesse Kelly show's off the air. I'm out of work. That's how you live. Is that not how you live? You might get fired tomorrow. This is how normal people live. But the Democrat Party is so lost, so reaching for some kind of emotional connection to Americans, the best they can do is parade these federal workers in front of us, workers who thought they were untouchable, and tell them and tell us that we should feel bad for them. And now we get things like this. We get federal workers who were fired levying threats like this, and they think this is going to endear us to them?
Civil servants have a lot of protections under the law, and we're only supposed to be fired if our performance falls short on the job. So what has happened is that the administration has fired us. We call it layoffs sometimes, but that's not what it is. It's an illegal firing. And, it's just not credible to say that thousands of people were determined to fall short of expectations. I mean, literally every probationary employee at my agency was fired. It can't be.
Literally?
That we all fell short.
So what can you do now? Can you do anything now? Are you going to do anything now?
Of course. My colleagues and I are fighting back. Our union is already in court. They've brought a couple of cases that I think we'll see action in the next few weeks. And, you know, all I can say is that Elon Musk and the president picked the wrong bunch of lawyers to mess with.
Now we have fired federal employees going on television shows threatening the Trump administration, and Democrats are so lost, they think that that will somehow endear them to the American people. Or this communist. As you listen to this woman, this is going to hurt, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I want you to keep in mind that you went to work not today because she's gone, but for years and years and years, as long as you've worked, you've gone to work. No, I'm sorry, Chris, I have to say it. You've gone to work, and that money the government has taken out of your paycheck has paid this vile communist salary for years and years and years and years and years. You paid the salary. You paid the benefits. You paid this communist to work inside the federal government to destroy your culture and your country.
The National Cancer Institute-funded study was terminated. I never received a written letter, but I was told to stop work immediately and that no more research expenditures would be allowed. My study to explore how to safely collect sexual orientation and gender identity in cancer care practices was in response to the American Society of Clinical Oncology, the American Medical Association, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, and many other national professional standard-setting bodies that recognize that we need better data to create better clinical guidelines for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex people.
I'm sorry to do this to you. I am. You know, I'm not a big apologize person, but I'm going to play that one more time. I swear. No, I'm sorry, Chris. I'll try. No, don't stop it, Chris. I'll try to make this the last time. I know it's heavy.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
But I want you to soak up every single word, because this lady is not some kind of a one-off. You, me. We have been paying the communist to destroy us from within. And the party is now so lost, they will stand in front of television cameras with bullhorns explaining what they've done with our money to our culture. Listen to what you have paid for and remember this if you ever, 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 ever even consider voting Democrat again. Play this for your liberal Aunt Peggy and inform her that this is the crap she pays for. The
National Cancer Institute funded study was terminated. I never received a written letter, but I was told to stop work immediately and that no more research expenditures would be allowed. My study to explore how to safely collect sexual orientation and gender identity and cancer care practices was in response to the American Society of Clinical Oncology, the American Medical Association, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, and many other national professional standard-setting bodies that recognize that we need better data to create better clinical guidelines for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex people.
And remember those poll numbers I read you about how lost Democrats are? Half want them to moderate, but then half want them to go further. The problem is that woman, the one you just heard, she's one of the brands, one of the types that want them to go further left. Does that sound like the type of human being who's going to be convinced that she needs to moderate a little bit in order to win Michigan? Party's in trouble. All right. Now, let's do a couple emails because there are some things we need to get to before we get to $5,000 stimmy checks. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, we have our shipping expert coming up about 10 minutes from now. Gosh, I'm going to freaking nerd out on that. But just a couple more words on how lost they are right now, how lost Democrats are. Listen to these numbers. And remember, this is not necessarily an embrace of the GOP, what I'm about to play you. Some of it is obviously an embrace of Trump. Trump is such a powerful figure that some of it is an embrace of Trump. But these disastrous numbers for Democrats are as much a rejection of the communist lunacy as they are an embrace of the GOP. You want to talk about a party that might be in the wilderness for a while.
Donald Trump and the Republican Party has changed the electorate. What do I mean by that? Well, let's take a look at party identification, Democrats versus Republicans. You go back to 2017, 5 points more of the electorate was Democrats than Republicans. You go to 2021 when Joe Biden was starting out, look at that, 6 points more of the electorate was Democrats than Republicans. But look at what's happened in February of 2025. Look at this. Republicans, there are more Republicans in the electorate than there are Democrats. Republican plus two. So Donald Trump and the Republicans have remade the electorate. They've turned some people over from being Democrats or independents to become Republicans. New folks have entered the electorate who are more Republican leaning. And so when you combine that with the fact that Republicans are really, really behind Donald Trump, all of a sudden you get a winning recipe whereby you break the normal rules of politics and give Donald Trump that positive net approval rating when he had pretty much a consistently negative one in term number one.
Why? I don't understand why people would leave the Democrat Party. You mean they don't want to do this?
The National Cancer Institute funded study was terminated. I never received a written letter, but I was told to stop work immediately and that no more research expenditures would be allowed. My study to explore how to safely collect sexual orientation and gender identity and cancer care practices was in response to...
Yeesh. Jesse, it finally happened. Oh, the subject of this one is I'm a failure as a parent. Ooh. Jesse, it finally happened. I've been fighting it off since my son was a baby, but I fear the communists have put their hooks in my son. He is almost 16 and so far has been a great student of the Jesse Kelly program for anti-communism, but tonight at dinner he had a turkey burger. Please don't blame me. I have made Jesse Kelly cheeseburgers multiple times, and he loved them. I believe the communists figured out the easiest way to a person's heart is through their stomach. He listens to your show, and I know he may listen to you more than me. Can you please help get my son Tate off the gateway communism food of turkey burgers? Please help, Jesse. His name is David. Tate, listen to me. Son, we all make mistakes. I've made mistakes in my life. Many, 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 many mistakes. Just because you did one bad thing doesn't mean it has to lead to another bad thing. You realize that? Just because you tried black tar heroin once doesn't mean you ever need to do it again. You can stop now. Okay, you're 16. Your brain's not even fully developed. You had a turkey burger. I get it. I understand that. I watched one of my kids last night lose his mind. I get it. Stop it here. Stop it here. Let this be a lesson for you to one day teach your son, your daughter, that you can really go astray when you're 16. Oh, Chris, I didn't even tell you and Corey about this. My son losing his mind last night. I'm not going to name him. Not going to name which one it is, but they're 14 and 16. The hormones, you remember, you both, you remember what it was like to be 14 and 16. Yeah. Ob and I, one of my kids was out of town. So Ob and I decided to take our other one out to dinner. They love the dinner where they don't have to compete with their brother and they can just talk to you the whole time. And we love it too. We just have great kids. We go to this Japanese restaurant run by a Japanese family. And looking at the menu, and Ob's looking at the menu, and I kind of sense that the waitress stands next to us. So without looking at her, I look up. So I'm getting ready to order my food. I look up at my son, and he looks up at her, and I admit she was very, very pretty. She was a very pretty young waitress. He did not hide his emotions very well. It looked like somebody'd hit him with a flashbang. He looks up at her, and his eyes get, I know he didn't mean to. I've got to talk to him when I get home. His eyes get about as big as saucers, and she's trying to take his meal, and he's not all that smooth about it, the whole thing, and I'm just sitting there shaking my head the whole time. I'm going to have to pull him to side and have it. I know, Chris, that's how you learn. Look, we all make mistakes, right? We all make mistakes. He was a little overwhelmed in the moment, right? He grew up fast last night, but going to have to talk to him. And I have to have a little discussion with him about it. So listen, Tate, don't stress that turkey burger. Just don't ever let it happen again. Jesse, in addition to your other listeners' thoughts on Commander Evans, oh, this is on our USS Johnston talk from Medal of Honor Monday. Hour 2 on Monday, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, if you want to go listen to it. He didn't just throw himself on that proverbial grenade, but he offered his entire crew as a sacrifice to the country. My point is, assuming he wasn't a narcissist, and he wasn't, he had approximately 300 times the stones to do what he did. I'm not sure he said this, but one documentary had a quote, I feel like David without a slingshot. He charged anyway. What an example. Thanks for all you do. Yeah, that story of the USS Johnston that we told on Monday, start of hour two on Monday's show, has really resonated with you, and I'm glad because it has always resonated with me. Just so much bravery, so much greatness is out there. And it's still out there. Remember, these men didn't just live in the past. They are today. The men and women of today, you have that in you, all right? Let's nerd out on some shipping stuff. It has to do with China, America, the Navy, other things. Got a special guest coming up next. And then after that, I will finally get to the stimmy checks. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, and it is time for me to put on my nerd hat because I'm so unreasonably excited to talk to my next guest. Look, YouTube, online videos, they've replaced what television was from when I was a child. When I have some time at home sitting around, I go try to nerd out on things that interest me. Shipping, logistics, navies, these things interest me, as you know if you listen to the show, and I came across a gem of a YouTube channel called What's Going On with Shipping, and the man who's responsible for that channel, Sal Mercogliano, joins me right now. Sal, first, let's discuss the past, shall we? The United States Navy in World War II. Most people do not grasp what a logistical marvel it was that we were able to fight the war in the Pacific the way we were.
Well, Jess, first, thanks for having me on, and I appreciate those kind words that you just said.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the logistics is what wins wars. And if you look at World War II, I know we get kind of enamored with, you know, the technology and the aircraft and the tanks and the, you know, all the kind of really gee whiz stuff. But in truth, the underlying thing was it was the logistics that allowed us to get the, you know, the material, the arsenal of democracy from the home front to the battlefront. And without that, really, you don't have victory in World War II. And that was really the big thing that allowed us to fight a very long, protracted war, whereas other sides couldn't do it.
Sal, would you mind expanding on what has changed? Because the last thing I saw from you, you had raised some concerns, some serious concerns about where we are now. Why is it different now? How can we get that many men, bombs, bullets, fuel, food? How can we get that across the Pacific Ocean en masse back in the 40s? Yet today, we seem to be failing in a lot of these areas. What were we versus what we are now, and why?
Well, I think just one of the things we did is we kind of turned our backs on, you know, what made, you know, it was really the underpinning. You know, we like to think of ourselves, for example, as a maritime nation, as a, you know, a sea power. But, you know, if you look at that kind of definition of sea power, you go back to the writings of people like Alfred Thayer Mahan. When he's talking about sea power, it's not just naval forces, it's commercial forces. And what we decided to do post-World War II, and really accentuated even more in the 1980s and 90s, was kind of outsource, you know, something we've seen happen in a lot of industries across the United States, but we outsourced our shipping. And so whereas at the end of World War II, we had the largest Navy and the largest merchant marine in the world, we were hauling 63% of the world's goods on U.S. flagged ships. We were the number one shipbuilder in the world. Today, we find ourselves in a situation where we have the number one Navy in the world, but we're the number 21 in terms of merchant marine. And if you look at shipbuilding, China outbuilds us 235-1. China right now is building over 50% of the world ships. We build 0.2% of the world ships.
Why should that matter to, let's say I'm not interested in the Navy or anything like that, which I obviously am, but let's say I'm just a normal American. These things, history, Navy, World War II stuff doesn't concern me. Why would having a merchant marine that's not quite what it once was, why do I care?
Well, I think we got, you know, for my channel, what's going on with shipping, it all came into being when Ever Given went sideways in the Suez, and all of a sudden people found out how dependent we were on shipping. And then you add into it the global supply chain crisis that came in with 109 ships off of LA and Long Beach. We saw what happened when the dolly took out the bridge and closed an American port for 2 months, and 2-3% of our imports, exports couldn't move. I think, you know, one of the things I think is really important to understand today is a country like China, for example, which has a major shipping firm, the Chinese Overseas Shipping Company, COSCO, not the big box store, this is COSCO, they have, you know, they control and haul about 15% of the world ships. And all Chairman Xi has to do to put pressure on the United States is tell the head of that company, is like, hey, just slow down your ships, you know, come in late to the United States 2 days. And that would cause massive disruptions in the United States. One of the reasons we should have our own merchant marine, and I'm a big advocate for it, plus along with shipbuilding, is it gives us the ability to absorb hits and not be so 100% dependent on foreign shipping and foreign companies.
Okay, now let's talk about the why, Sal. Again, we're speaking with Sal Mercogliano. His YouTube channel is outstanding. It's called What's Going On with Shipping. Why did we lose all this shipping? I mean, I'm a moron, but I have a map. I'm looking at all this coastline, East Coast, West Coast. We should be churning out ships by the dozen, but China is and we are not. Is this a over-regulation thing? What happened to us?
Sure. So, I mean, you had a couple of things that really evolved that saw this. So one of the first things was you had during the Second World War, we used some shipping from other countries to help get around some rules and regulations and neutrality laws. So, for example, when we wanted to support the British in their fight against the Germans before we got in it, we weren't allowed to ship something like 100-octane fuel necessary for the Battle of Britain and their planes. So we used Panama ships to do that. After the war, Panamanian registry was seen as a nice, cheap alternative. They were cheaper ships to operate. They were cheaper to build. They were cheaper to crew. And so what you saw was a proliferation of open registries, these ships that are out there that are sailing under the flags of the Marshall Islands, Liberia, and Panama. Now, we're seeing the problem with that when you have someone like the Houthi, for example, start attacking those ships. whose Navy is supposed to defend them. Is it the U.S. Navy or is it supposed to be the Liberian Navy? And I can tell you the Liberian Navy is not coming. So it winds up being us, even though we're not paying for that. Then you have really, you know, changes in technology. We saw, you know, the U.S. has been an innovator in shipping technology. We perfected the use of oil in ships, which allowed us to sail longer distances. We came up with new technologies, ultra-large tankers. We came up with the concept of the cruise ship, the modern cruise ship. And more importantly, we came up with the idea of the container ship, which absolutely revolutionized our ability to move goods. If you look at the end of World War II, we moved about 500 million tons on the world's oceans. Whew. Last year, 2024, we moved over 12 billion tons. And so we are moving cargo faster, more, you know, more velocity and more volume than ever before. And in truth, what the U.S. did was we just kind of really turned our back on the shipping side. We believed that, you know, our allies and our friends, and we could always depend on what was left of the U.S. merchant marine in time of war. And, you know, we would have these allies, you know, in Korea, NATO, and other places. However, what we're seeing now is that a lot of these shipping companies are big international conglomerates, and you can't really rely on them the way they do. Their priority is their company and their stockholders, not so much the United States or even the countries where the companies are based. So like Maersk and Denmark, you can't really sit there and say, well, Denmark's an ally, therefore Maersk will be there if we need them.
Why is China so good at it? Just because, is it just a matter of will? Is it just a matter of they decided they wanted to be and they pushed forward and made it so? Is that why China's better now?
So if you, again, you look at how it evolved at the end of World War II, we helped repopulate our allied merchant marines. We sold them over 1,000 ships to replace the ships they lost. We had the Marshall Plan that allowed them to rebuild their shipyards. But many of those countries in Europe and Japan, for example, they set up policies that helped support their industries. So they provided either subsidies or a lot of incentives to promote investment into those sectors. And what we've seen happen is kind of it shifted over the years. It was Japan and Korea, Japan and Europe, and then it went to Korea. But then in the early 2000s, China saw this as a key element that they could control the trade. And so they have invested heavily, not just in ship ownership. They're one of the biggest, for example, providers of merchant mariners in the world. They control literally the production of metal containers, the big, huge shipping boxes around the world. And then the big thing they're doing, is, as I mentioned earlier, is they're really developing the concept of being the biggest shipbuilder in the world. This past year, they are building on order over 63% of the world's ships. And they just realized that this is a way that they can really dominate economics. They can control trade and they can control the flow of imports and exports in and out of their country.
And Sal, that was freaking awesome. We are going to have you back soon. I enjoyed it immensely. His YouTube channel is What's Going On with Shipping. I appreciate you very much, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
I love that stuff. You have to let me nerd out every now and then. What, Chris? I need to nerd out every now and then. Whatever. At least my dog's going to live a long time. Longer than yours, Chris. I give my dog Rough Greens. I know you don't have a dog. If you did, mine would live longer. Anyway, Fred takes Rough Greens. You know that? I say takes Rough Greens. It makes it sound like we're giving him suppositories or something. He loves it. It's delicious. We pour it on his food. Well, we sprinkle it on his food. It's a powder. It's a natural herbal supplement for your dog. It's got vitamins and minerals and digestive enzymes because your dog gets none of that from his dog food. Created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, the ultimate dog lover so your dog can live longer. And yes, cat owners, Dr. Black heard your cries and he created Meow Greens as well. So if you want some for your cat, have a healthier cat, go get some. Free jumpstart trial bag at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day. Don't forget, you can email the show love, hate, death threats. All those are welcome to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's have a talk. You're going to get mad at me about it, so we might as well just get this out of the way now. First, let's be honest about something. What Donald Trump and Elon Musk are doing, cleaning out the fraud, waste, and corruption in the government, is amazing. I have a little birdie who told me that Donald Trump is pushing to balance the budget. Also amazing. These are awesome developments. So what I'm about to say right now is, it might sound nitpicky, but we have to have a talk here. First, I want to give credit where credit's due. This is a couple hours ago. Donald Trump, he is being very smart by publicizing all the waste and abuse. It's a little long. It's like a minute and a half. But Chris, go ahead and let the commander-in-chief lay it all out there. He's explaining to people, look at all this garbage we're finding.
$20 million for fiscal federalism in Nepal. Listen to these numbers. This is all fraud. $19 million for biodiversity conservation in Nepal. $1.5 million for voter confidence. We want to give them confidence in Liberia. $14 million for social cohesion in Mali. $2.5 million for inclusive democracies in South Africa. $47 million for improving learning outcomes in Asia. Asia's doing very well. They're doing a lot better than we do in the schools, aren't they? $2 million to develop sustainable recycling models to increase socioeconomic cohesion among marginalized communities in Kosovo and Eskali and in Egypt. We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars.
So they're cutting. They're doing good. They're finding the fraud. I'm happy. I'm thrilled. And this is me. You know, I would tell you if I wasn't. I'm thrilled. But I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine that your house is crumbling. Termites have gotten in. Your foundation is cracked. Been some bad settlement in your area. Your foundation is cracked. The termites have eaten through the studs in the walls. Your home is crumbling. Now, on top of this, the plants in your backyard, the landscaping, they've died. In fact, the plants in the front yard died too. You had a bad freeze. The plants have died. Now, you decide you need to save your home. And you start digging in on the plants. You're tearing out all the bad plants. Let's get rid of these bad plants. These plants are dead. We got bad plants in the front yard, bad plants in the backyard. You replace the plants and you have brand new landscaping. Are you fine in that home now? Well, no. You've prettied it up. It looks better from the outside, and you did things that mattered, but the foundation is still cracking. The studs are collapsing in the walls. What we are discussing with these DOGE cuts are significant cuts. I don't want to be dismissive of them, but the debt and deficit disaster in this country that we are already in, and is getting worse if you pay attention to this budget process, which we'll get to in a moment. That's the foundation of the country. That is the crumbling walls in the country. The inflation you feel has not gotten better, has it? Has your grocery bill gone down? Your power bill? When you're buying, so have you seen inflation relief? Now, Elon Musk came out this morning. He's been floating it out there, talking about taking these savings, 20% of the savings, 20% of $2 trillion, and sending a $5,000 check to the $79 million American taxpayers. It's not just an Elon Musk idea, in case you're wondering. As part of this speech Trump gave a couple hours ago, he came out and he said this.
There's even under consideration a new concept where we give 20% of the DOGE savings to American citizens and 20% goes to paying down debt, because the numbers are incredible, Elon. So many billions of
dollars. We got it. I want a $5,000 check as much as you want a $5,000 check. Believe me, You should see the look on Chris's face. No one wants one worse than Chris. But let me ask you something. Which number is greater? $5,000 or even 1% of all the goods and services you buy in your life in a given year? 1%. I didn't even give you a high percentage. Think about everything in your life. Add or subtract 1%. I don't care which direction you go. Which number is greater? $5,000 or 1% of all the goods and services you buy in your life? It's the inflation that is murdering us all. The inflation, because the budget is out of control, that is the reason your standard of living is significantly lower than it was a few years ago. We don't need $5,000 stimmy checks. I understand the excitement. We're finding the fraud, and I understand the sentiment. It's my money. Give it back. I get it. I'm not even criticizing you for it. That money must go to the debt in the deficit for the good of all of us, including you. You, me, the good of the entire United States of America. The number 1%, if it's even 1%, remember the inflation after the Inflation Reduction Act, how it blew up through the roof, 2, 3, 4%, and you couldn't afford anything anymore? We're talking a $500 billion stimmy bill. No, no, no. Pay the debt off. Pay the deficit off. Save the country. No bribery of the voters. Save the country. I'm letting it go. I want to move on. I want to talk budget anyway. Now, first, I want to talk chalk to you. Got myself all amped up there. It's a perfect time to talk about chalk. As long as we're talking T levels, I might as well be amped up. Chalk. Natural herbal supplements. You understand how deeply I hate medications. I just do. I understand they're necessary sometimes, but taking things, I don't like it. And the testosterone crisis has men running down to the local clinic getting needles jabbed into their arms. Please handle that stuff naturally. Chalk has endless natural herbal supplements, male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks, chalk lit powder for your smoothie in the morning. You want to be full of energy, be in a good mood all the time. Are you down a lot? Chalk, C-H-O-Q. Let them help you, and they will help you. Get a subscription. Save a bunch of money. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We have an hour left. Let's talk about these budget bills. I'll make it fast because it's nerdy, but it's important. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.